Welcome to Speak Up, Speak Out, progressive voices from around the valley and around the nation, conversing about issues important to our community.
Welcome. I'm Dave McConnell. Jim's here in the studio with me providing technical support. Calling attention to the 15th anniversary of NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, Valdemar Mendoza Jimenez, Oaxaca, Mexico, here in the Skagit Valley campus under the auspices of Witness for Peace. We were able to obtain a recording of his presentation. I apologize for the sound quality, but his message is important. We open with the introduction by Beth Poteet, who tells a little bit about Witness for Peace, as well as giving some background about Senora Mendoza. Here's Beth.
We really work to end U.S. military aid to Colombia, to support fair trade and immigrant rights, and to close the U.S. Army School of the Americas. And we do this by taking people from the U.S. to Latin America on educational delegations to show firsthand the effects of U.S. policy abroad. Another thing that we do is we try to educate people about the effects of policy for folks who can't go on these educational delegations by bringing up speakers like Valdemar to the Northwest and doing speakers tours. We also organize our members to take action in with their members of Congress when votes are happening, again, about these kinds of policies. And we're really pleased to have Valdemar Mendoza Jimenez with us on a speaker tour. He is an agroecologist with the Union of Organizations of the Sierra Juarez of Oaxaca. He's worked there for 5 years, and he studied agronomy at the university in Oaxaca. And we also have with us Ann Tyson, who works for Witness for Peace on our Mexico team based in Oaxaca. So she's going to provide all of the interpretation for Valdemar tonight.
Muy buenas tardes.
Good evening. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to share with you a bit of the situation that is affecting our communities in Oaxaca, the region where I come from, which is the Sierra Juarez.
Antes, ¿sí se escucha mi voz hasta allá?
So he asked, can you all hear me, or should I be raising my voice more? And he said, though I know that my friend here does speak with a loud voice, she'll help me be understood.
Bueno,
I come from an organization that's called UNOSCO, the Union of Organizations of the Sierra Juarez of Oaxaca. It's located in the state of Oaxaca. It's a civil association, a nonprofit. And we have a working relationship with communities from two regions or two sections or districts in our region. And we are working with communities that are indigenous, Zapoteco people. And we're part of one of the three types of Zapotec indigenous people that there are in the state of Oaxaca. And where we work are in two districts. One of them is called Ixlan, and the other one is called Villa Alta. There are characteristics that could describe where I come from, and I'm going to share a little of that with you.
La base de la alimentación.
The foundation of our diet is corn and beans and squash, and also greens and herbs that grow in our cornfields that we primarily eat cooked, but sometimes we'll eat them raw, like the way you eat salads. The way that we have to farm is on steep inclines, because to describe Oaxaca, you could basically crumple up a piece of paper and then try to straighten it out, and that's what Oaxaca looks like. We don't have any flatlands or valleys the way that this state does. And in some more humid lands, we cultivate cane sugar that is sort of a sweetener. It's like brown sugar. This activity of making the panela sugar has to be done in a collective group, because one person can't do it alone. Because when you dedicate to this job of producing sugar, you need to produce enough to last you for the whole year.
Entre otras características.
And among the characteristics of our region, each region has its own self-organizing system or self-governance that's known basically as communality.
Y esa comunidad está formada.
This sort of communality or collectivity is characterized by a give and take system of reciprocity. And there are several things that show it, and some of them that I'll explain are the Tequio, the Gozona, and the Guelaguetza.
Y bueno, algo que nos ha mantenido.
One thing that has kept our community alive and surviving is the way that we assign our authorities and choose who represents us.
El sistema de cargos es donde
the system that we have of naming who our authorities are, it's chosen through an assembly like this, where and the assembly is the maximum authority of the community, and it's instituted to name the person that's best for the job based on who has done their work the best in the past.
Y para tener esta responsabilidad de la.
And to take on this responsibility, nobody campaigns for it, and you don't get paid a salary for the service you do to the community.
Y cuando termina la responsabilidad, no.
And when you finish your responsibility to the community, you don't end up rich like some of the politicians in Mexico.
No sé cómo pasa en este.
I don't know how it works in your country, but that's how it works in Mexico. Unfortunately, the characteristics I've been describing, especially the collectivity of the communities, has been severely hit and struck by neoliberal policies, which have been pushed upon us by our federal government in conjunction with international institutions like the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund and the Inter-American Development Bank, and also with the vigilance of the United States through their Department of Treasury.
Políticas.
And these politics don't respond in any way to the needs of the local communities or to the farming or indigenous communities. And in our region, we feel that this aggression really and this decomposition of our community fabric really started back in the 70s with the introduction of the platforms of the revolution or of the Green Revolution. And it was promoted in Mexico because they said we were lacking in food, and so we needed to produce more food in less on less land. And we needed to produce more on less land by using agrochemicals and fertilizers. And in the same time, they were taking away the supports for the inputs that we were expected to be using. And this was for the buying of inputs that were agrochemicals.
A nuestra región.
In our region, the Green Revolution arrived with the use of or the promotion of using agrochemicals on our corn and our cornfields.
¿Y el establecimiento?
In our area, they pressured us to be just using a monocrop, and that crop was coffee. It's in the humid zones where coffee is produced, and so it was just only you need to plant coffee. And I forgot to say before, and in the higher zones, there was the expectation that they would exploit their forests and remove the timber from their forests. And with these two ways of generating income, they supposedly would be able to solve the economic issues facing the countryside. Nevertheless, the consequences that came were the loss of the use of native seeds, poor soils due to the dependence on agrochemicals, and higher costs for the inputs that more and more the land became dependent on. And each year the cost was more and more, and the prices that you're able to receive for your products kept going down.
Y los que sí salieron ganando.
The ones that profited and got ahead from this were the businesses that were selling the fertilizer, the agrochemicals, and the hybridized seeds to us.
Después,
so then we get up to the time where they're preparing for the application of the free trade agreement, NAFTA. And the governments that were before that, from the year 1980 to 1994, were putting into policies that paved the way for that that treaty.
Primero, quitó los precios de...
First, they took away the price guarantees that were given to farmers so that they could get a just price for selling corn. Those were stripped away.
Pero también privatizó.
And they also privatized some of the government institutions that were there to support and to make sure that the small farmer had enough.
Y dentro de este plan,
and these policies had the plan, well, actually, they continue to have the plan and the intention to reduce the number of small subsistence farmers from 25 million in Mexico to only 5 million.
Porque se decía,
because they said that small subsistence farmers were not productive or competitive, and they weren't generating income for Mexico. And this obliged them to begin to migrate away from their communities.
Y también,
and they also made changes to the Constitution of Mexico, particularly to Article 27, which deals with territory and the distribution of land in Mexico.
Con esta,
with this change, they stripped away the land distribution demands that had been made and hard won from the Mexican Revolution back in 1910. This change in the Constitution paved the way for privatization of land that had been held communally or held collectively through the ejido system. And by 2003, the importation of agricultural products had grown to the extent that we had really lost our own nation's food sovereignty. We can say that out of every 100 products, agricultural products typically consumed in Mexico, 93 of them were being imported and bought from the United States, principally corn, beans, and rice, which are the primary things that Mexican families are eating and communities need. And the final straw is that by 2008, all agricultural products can enter free of tariffs. And they end the only program that was there to supposedly help the farmer, which in reality wasn't doing much except continuing the platform of the Green Revolution.
You're listening to Speak Up, Speak Out here on KSVR. Baldomar Mendoza Jimenez is talking about the impact that NAFTA has had on his home state in Mexico, Oaxaca. He was at Skagit Valley College on a tour sponsored by Witness for Peace.
Y bueno, por todos los comentarios que he hecho.
So these comments that I'm making have had their effects on Mexico, primarily in three areas. The migration, enormous migration, the loss of our food sovereignty, and international corporations that are getting rich off of our biodiversity, especially through what we call biopiracy and geographic piracy. Migration itself had a huge effect on our communities, mostly looking at the abandonment of the farm fields and the countryside. Migration had the effect of disintegrating the family. It also had the effect of causing a decomposition of the fabric of the community. It struck hard against our collective ways of organizing, like the Tequio, which is a community service, or the Gozona, which is a way where personally I'll help you in a project and you help me, or also the system of giving authority through the assembly.
Y los que también, y
la... And a lot of the burden was placed upon the women of the communities. They had the responsibility, of course, for the care of the children, but also obligations to their communities. And while their spouse was away during the months that they were looking for a job, they had to guarantee the survival of the family. It's sad to see the grandparents or grandfather who's taking on the responsibility of a grandson who is unable to come back from, and the conditions aren't okay for them to return to their community from the United States.
Y bueno, algunos países...
Some of our countrymen and women do come back to Oaxaca, but it's very difficult for them to reintegrate into the collective system that they came from. They return with an altered way of looking at life. Some even come back sick without the certainty that they will get better.
Y otra agresión que...
Another huge blow to us, an aggression against us that was part of the importing of corn, was first our loss of our own food sovereignty, but also the contamination of our native corn by genetically modified corn.
Y bueno, esto es una agresión porque...
This is an aggression to us because, first of all, corn is the base of our diet. And in our region, at least, corn is not just a plant. We see corn as a living being, as our brother or sister, something that lives and speaks to us and that we feel. And it's with us for our whole life, from the time we're born to when we die. And in our communities, even 40 days after we die, we are remembered through corn. And the Mexican government has done nothing at all. On the contrary, recently they have approved the planting of genetically modified corn right within Mexico's boundaries. They tell us, well, we are worried, but they say don't worry because we're only going to bring in the kind of corn that's okay for human consumption. But we don't want anything to do with that because our native corn is adapted to the ecological niches of the community and the agriculture that we have. The government hasn't done anything to stop it, even though they know that Mexico is the birthplace of corn. And they haven't done anything in spite of the fact that there is serious evidence that shows that there's damage to humans and to other living creatures that are exposed and that consume genetically modified organisms. And there isn't evidence that shows anything to the contrary.
Recientemente también.
And recently, in the region that I come from, they're starting to come in and take away local understanding and local knowledge of things within our territory, like our plants and our organisms and our mineral resources.
Con formas de investigación.
With styles of investigation, precise styles of investigation. Although they are less obvious in being clear about what their real objectives are. As a recent example, we had a team of geographers from the University of Kansas in conjunction with the Mexican University in San Luis Potosí. They realized a project that was called Mexico Indígena, Indigenous Mexico. When they arrived, they shared with us what all of the good effects of this project, which was a participative mapping project, what those good effects were going to be.
Pero no dijeron.
But they never told us where their funds were coming from. But through our investigation, we found that they were coming from the Foreign Military Studies Office from the U.S. Army. And in part were part of a business operation that was doing spying kinds of things.
Y esto es preocupante porque...
This project is part of an investigation that has to do with counterinsurgency efforts. This is very worrisome because we don't know what the destination of the knowledge that they've taken out of the two communities where they did the project. The worry is even bigger because they weren't transparent about things like they said they were going to be. And in facing all of this, you might ask, what is our organization doing about it? What are we doing for those who have stayed behind and also for those that want something to come back home to? Principally, we have designed strategies that are helping us to resist and strengthen our defense of our natural resources.
¿Qué tiene que ver con?
And these natural resources, in them we include our plants and our animals, men and women, our spirituality, everything that is included in our territory. As an example of our activities, we have designed spaces for reflection. We call them forums. In these spaces, we discuss how neoliberal policies are affecting us as indigenous communities. We also explain and discuss how these policies are international interests are taking advantage of our natural resource without our consent and knowledge.
También tenemos otro espacio en donde...
We also have a space that has more to do with our food sovereignty. We call them fairs or demonstrations of the traditional corn growing system. And this activity that we do is to show people how the best ways of conserving their native seeds and their native ways of eating. And to be able to share with the community the kinds of recipes and foods that come from our local areas that our grandparents survived on for many years. That are products that mostly come from right within the cornfield. And also for our neighbors who are small farmers that have managed to have a little bit extra than just what they need for sustaining themselves, we're helping to reestablish the community tradition of bartering and small markets. And these small markets have been a vehicle for being able to show and to sell local products and crafts as well. And these spaces have helped us to take steps forward in integrating women even better into decision-making roles in the community.
También compartimos.
And it also allows small farmers to share with each other different alternatives that have techniques that have worked for them and have been successful in their past harvests. And the one that is doing the teaching of the farmer is in fact another farmer. And all of our work is focused on enriching and strengthening our culture as an originating people. And it also allows us to unite our communities through the things they have in common, like our language and our ecology, our spirituality, and even our diet. The most important to us is rescuing our food sovereignty as originating people so that we can have and establish our autonomy. And when we say autonomy, we mean everything that we need to be, or that we get to decide everything we need to be able to eat, to organize and educate ourselves, to protect our territories and live within our country, which is Mexico.
Y bueno, solo esto es una de...
And this is, my comments are just one of the realities within a large country, which is Mexico.
Yes.
Thank you.
Gracias.
That was the end of Señor Mendoza's formal comments. There were several questions from the audience. We have time for a couple of them.
How many communities does your organization work in?
Bueno, la organización está...
Our organization has partners, men and women, and through that we have formal contact with 15 communities, but we're also making way into 5 other communities. So I would say we work with about 20 communities. I have worked for 14 years with migrants in this area, most of them coming from Oaxaca. I have a question about the authorities and the duties that are given out, and who chooses this? And the reason I ask is because some immigrants who are living here have to actually leave this country and where they've been established and go back and return to accept a duty that has been put upon them. And I'm just wondering what happens if they don't go.
Bueno, algo que sí está pasando está causando conflictos.
This is creating a lot of conflicts in our region, and this is part of our reality. In some places, if you don't return, then the rights that you have are taken away from you. And this obviously creates conflict for the community and for the person. And but this is part of the plan of the authorities that create treaties like NAFTA to break our collective way of organizing ourselves. It's in their benefit that we have infighting between us, because if we are fighting amongst us, then it's easier for us, for them to divide us. And so this issue over losing rights, which is happening suddenly in my community, is one way for them to split people. So it's true that what happens is people can lose their rights. And this, I'm going to tell a story that's close to me that comes from the community where my grandfather is from. There's a house that was owned by migrants that had to spend many years in the United States and couldn't return, and they lost the rights to their land and to their house, and it was turned back over to the communal use of the community.
Pero esto crea otro conflicto más.
Other conflicts are for the migrants that go to the cities like Mexico, and then they reclaim their interests, and they go to the Department of Human Rights, and now it becomes an issue that's not just a community issue with the assembly that was named by the people, but it becomes a state and a federal issue, and the state and federal government don't have neither eyes or ears for the collective way of living. And then there was a question, can people here lose...
That's it for today's show.
Join us each week for Speak Up, Speak Out. Archives are at speakupspeakoutradio.org. Theme music courtesy of Kurt Crandall. Until next time, seek peace, work for justice, celebrate diversity, and support your neighbors.
This program was produced in the studios of KSVR-FM by the Speak Up, Speak Out Collective. Distribution was made possible in part by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.